This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Help me welcome to the program Mark Blaxell. He is a member of the board of directors at safeminds.org. He also serves on their research committee. He is the father of a daughter that was diagnosed with autism. He has a Harvard MBA with distinction, a Princeton ABA summa cum laude, and he has been very involved in the community of autism parents for many years now. Mark, it's an honor to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Coy. It's a pleasure to join you.
So let's start with, the 101 is always the best place to start. We'll start at the beginning with the diagnosis. Tell us the story of about how your family was touched by this epidemic tragedy.
Well, it's a story that is so common, I guess, that it's, in some respects, for many of us, we've heard the story so many times, it sounds repetitive, regardless of the family. But my wife and I had been married a while. We had our oldest daughter, and then our second daughter came along in 1995. Her name was Michaela, and when she was born, she was perfect, and everything was going along just fine. Through her first year, she was alert, developing normally, beautiful, developing speech, doing all the things that little babies should do, connected, and a lovely little baby. And then for us, somewhere between the first and second birthdays, she began to slip away from us. And she developed symptoms, gastrointestinal symptoms. She began not to respond to her name. She would wake up. She had odd sleep patterns, a whole series of things. And long story short, we took her in for an evaluation at about 2.5 years old. Several months later, actually, because it took a long time, the services were backed up. We got the diagnosis of autistic disorder, and that's when our journey started.
We're talking with Mark Blaxell. He's a member of the board of directors of Safe Minds, and he's an editor at ageofautism.com. So tell me about those first few weeks after the diagnosis. What was that like for you?
Well, it's like somebody takes a 2x4 to your head and whacks you really, really hard, Coy. I mean, it's just one of the most horrible things that you can go through, to think that something profound and irreversible has happened to your beautiful little girl. We came back from the hospital, cried a lot, and then sort of got mobilized. We called everybody we knew. We tried to pull every string we had to find the best doctors we could find. And we started trying to educate ourselves. And so there was a process of immersion. There's no other word to describe it. It was like the alarm had gone off, and we had to, had to mobilize ourselves, our family, our networks, to try to do something to help Michaela. And in a sense, the emergency is still going. The alarm bell is still ringing, because we're still working as hard as we ever have. Really, those first few months and weeks and months were a process of emergent of self education. And one of the things that we discovered was we weren't alone. There were a lot of parents like us with stories that were almost identical, and the numbers seemed to be growing. And there were a lot of disconnects between the official line that we got from the Harvard Medical School and what the parents were saying. And so we began to dive deep into that journey, and it's gone on since then.
I'm honored to be talking with Mark Blaxell. He is a member of the board of directors at safeminds.org and an editor at ageofautism.com. He's got a Harvard MBA and a graduate of Princeton summa cum laude. Mark, tell us, as you're sitting here talking about the symptoms that your baby had, and of course that is very familiar to me. We had all those same symptoms, the diarrhea, the uncontrollable drooling, and you just scratch your head and think, what in the world is happening to my baby? You know, and you feel so helpless and powerless. Tell me a little bit about some of the things you learned on your journey that your family is still on together, really sort of blew your mind, the things you didn't know before.
Well, the first thing was, as I said, we weren't alone. And as you say, I mean, so many parents have this almost virtually identical experiences. And you know, you change a lot of diapers, and I don't want to get graphic on your audience, but, you know, I mean, we knew something was wrong, and it's really fascinating to hear that all these other parents have something wrong and something so basic. And then you learn that there are parents that find that special diets or certain kinds of supplements can do an enormous amount for these kids, and you learn that there's this whole thriving community of parents that are learning, sharing, investigating, researching, taking action to help their kids get better, and that community has a whole lot more to offer a family facing this than as I said before, the official line. I spent a lot of time with some very prestigious doctors. I live in Boston. I have access to all certain supposedly state-of-the-art medical care here. And the thing that blew my mind was how clueless some of the most influential people really were. They were clueless at multiple levels. First of all, they offered no hope. You sit down in the meeting and they say, well, here's the diagnosis. Go take this genetic test and come back in 6 months and we'll do all the tests over again, which, you know, is about as useful to a family as, well, it's not useful at all.
Yeah. Well, it's treating a gunshot wound with a lollipop.
There you go. Much better than I could have said it. But, yeah, so it's the lollipop is not worth coming back for. And then the thing that you learn is that there is no coherence in the official view, because you don't have to be a genius to figure out that the numbers of autism have been exploding. But if you go to talk to the people in, you know, the positions of influence and prestige, they're still debating, you know, it's like how many angels on the head of a pin. You know, are the numbers really going up, or are we just doing a better job diagnosing? Which, having gone through the diagnostic experience, that suggestion was ludicrous. But they're completely, you know, the position is incoherent. Faced with the facts of this emergency of so many families facing an autism diagnosis, the medical and scientific establishment can't come to grips with that fact. Once you come to grips, once you face up to that reality, then you kind of walk into the recognition that, no, this was not my child's destiny. This was not, you know, an inexorable genetic fact of their life. You say, well, something happened to these children. Something must have happened, because you can't have a tenfold increase in this kind of situation in the country in a few short years and not have it come from the outside. And so you get launched into all the environmental controversies and all of which are, you know, just not dealt with officially. And in fact, the people that are driving the consideration of the logical, rational argument, you know, it is the parent community. And all of which was not what I expected, all of which has or did and continues to blow my mind in a number of ways. And it's just remarkable. And so what we face here is, you know, a parent community that's mobilized and determined, facing up against a medical establishment that's conservative and slow. And I think everything that everyone in the general population hears about autism is conditioned by that disconnect between this determined parent advocacy group and the slow, conservative, and ultimately incoherent establishment. And that's been a pretty fascinating thing to watch.
Yeah. Mark Blaxwell is a member of the board of directors at safeminds.org and an editor at ageofautism.com. Mark, somebody listening who has been so fortunate to not have autism touch their family directly or their loved ones, What are they to make of? What's the general public to make of that disconnect that you speak of between involved, concerned parents who, as you say, are moving aggressively towards the logical, rational explanations that something happened to these kids, that it isn't just a little genetic thing that went off, a little timer that went off, and the medical establishment, which, as you argue, is conservative and slow?
Well, I think the thing that the general population needs to know is that a lot of the information they hear through the mainstream press is filtered. And one of the things I've learned about the behavior of the press is that they like to filter their information through experts, or who they define as experts, and in this case, you know, the experts are the people I'm describing as incoherent. So we have this tension between, you know, a reality that's quite clear, the experts who are themselves incompetent to describe it because their views are obsolete or changing, but at the same time they have a great deal of access to some of the usual channels, and so the tension that I'm describing between the parents and the mainstream scientific or medical establishment gets filtered in a way that's very hostile to the parents. So we are described as a bunch of yahoos with no medical sophistication and a bunch of crazy, you know, radical fringe ideas that nobody in their right mind would ever consider, whereas the medical establishment is the sober, you know, qualified, expert, caring community. And the reality is pretty far from that. I mean, I think the medical establishment really needs to face, you know, the moral question, you know, are they doing enough to help these children? And I think, you know, I personally like to turn the table on some of the way the information gets spun, because the general population hears a morality tale that's really not accurate, and I think we should be turning the tables a bit on the folks that say there's no problem or trying to slip around some of the problems, and ask them the question, you know, why aren't you doing more to help all these families?
We're talking with Mark Blaxall, a member of the board of directors at SafeMinds.org and an editor at AgeOfAutism.com. Mark, what are your thoughts about the Obama administration and the future of just what you're talking about, of seeking a better response perhaps from the medical establishment and government when it comes to autism?
Well, like everyone in the world, I'm hopeful that change will be positive, that we'll have a rational, thoughtful, balanced set of folks, you know, in positions of power and influence, particularly from my perspective, I'm most interested in the Department of Health and Human Services, because that's where the autism issues are most actively considered. I think one of the things you find about autism, it's not an issue of right or left or Republican or Democrat. It's an issue of you know, do we face the reality of the autism epidemic or not? And the one thing I do know is that the Bush administration didn't do much, and the last 8 years have been a struggle for the, you know, for the families. The leadership of the CDC has been terrible. The leadership of the FDA is involved in a number of ways. The leadership of NIH has been unresponsive in a lot of ways. So we're hopeful that a new administration can bring fresh faces and fresh thinking to some of these agencies. But I say that in a nonpartisan way, because, you know, I think some of our best friends in this debate have been Republicans, some of our best friends have been Democrats, and we've had opposition on both sides of the aisle. So what I'm hoping for with the new president, is that, you know, really as a father, he's got children the same age as my children. He knows families with autism, and I'm hopeful that, you know, just personally, President Obama will look at people like us and say, boy, I understand that these families need help. I understand that there's a problem. He said so. He said so to you. Boy, you asked him the best question anyone did in the whole campaign. And I'm hopeful he'll say, those are serious questions, and I need to come up with answers in my administration.
And ideally, as a parent, as an advocate, what ideally would happen? What would you like to see when you would look back 5 years hence and say, you know what, I'm so glad they did X, Y, and Z? Ideally, what would be those first steps that would be taken by this new administration?
I think the first step, and a lot of us have said this from the beginning, is that we have to face the reality of the epidemic. We have to declare some kind of national emergency and shift out of defensive mode into an active mode, and to say, we have a problem, something's going on, we have to help the families, and we have to prevent more cases of autism from coming on. Because, you know, if the numbers keep going up at the rate they're going up, you know, we're going to have millions and millions of dependent adults and who will become wards of the state, and huge expenses. I mean, I've done some rough calculations. I think, you know, we think the $700 billion bailout of Wall Street is a big number. Just wait till you get the autism nation, and the cost of that'll come up with autism. I think it'll dwarf this bailout.
Yeah, all this cost now that's being bankrupting families as they search for an answer, and
right.
Just now is hitting a lot of the school systems, which
right.
are having to scramble to come up with money for special ed and helpers in the classroom and things like this.
Right, and the school systems are sort of set up to deal with this. I mean, everything you hear in local news about special ed programs being over budget, well, welcome to our kids. But we're still dealing with the kids. The kids are going to school. The parents are dealing with it. It is bankrupting families. But after a while, the parents will die. And these kids will still be around. And they'll grow out of the school system. They'll need to be institutionalized somewhere. And the costs will go through the roof. So I think at some point, we're going to have to deal with this both economically as well as scientifically. And the sooner we deal with the numbers, the increases, the trends, and deal with it rationally, the better off everyone will be.
Mark Blaxell is father to Michaela and a member of the board of directors at safeminds.org. He's also an editor at ageofautism.com. Mark, thank you so much for joining us and taking the time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.